Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's Super Tuesday, 15 states holding presidential primaries, and Donald Trump is on every one of them.
Today's primaries come after the Supreme Court unanimously ruled that individual states cannot ban Trump from the presidential ballot. Courts in three states, Colorado, Maine, and Illinois, had ruled Trump should be banned because of his actions surrounding the January 6th riot, citing the 14th Amendment, which says no one who has taken an oath to support the Constitution and then engaged in insurrection can hold public office afterwards.
ABC's Ike Adjachi. A single-engine airplane crashed near the I-40 in Nashville. Authorities say everyone aboard was killed, but it's not known exactly how many people were on the aircraft. In Earth orbit, three Americans and a Russian have joined the crew aboard the International Space Station for a six-month stay. That'll make 11 people on the orbital outpost until four crew members from the previous mission return to Earth. This is ABC News. There was emotional testimony from the victims and families in the deadly mass shooting in Maine last October.
One by one, relatives and neighbors of those killed in the October shootings in Maine shared their grief and their unanswered questions with a panel of independent commissioners. This unidentified woman lost her sister in the shootings and asked why suspect Robert Card, whose family reported him for making threats, having mental health issues, and access to guns, didn't have his guns taken away before lives were lost.
It wasn't the family's problem to go get the guns. It was Saginaw County.
Commissioners heard the emotional testimony and promised a final investigative report will be made public in the coming months. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
A very fast car made a very slow return. British police report recovering the red Ferrari F512M stolen from Formula One driver Gerhard Berger in Italy in 1995. It was one of two sports cars stolen during the San Marino Grand Prix. Second was never recovered. The car can go 196 miles an hour. This is ABC News.
Now, we tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuckiehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin taxpayers with kids are getting a tax break. Governor Evers is enacting a bipartisan bill to expand child and dependent care tax credits from 50% of the federal credit to 100%. The total tax relief should add up to $73 million a year. On Friday, Evers vetoed three Republican tax cut bills. Suburban women in Wisconsin have a lot to say about who wins the race for president. That's why First Lady Jill Biden was in Waukesha Sunday talking about reproductive rights.
We are the first generation, and I think someone said this, in a half a century, to give our daughters a country with fewer rights than we all had.
Vice President Kamala Harris plans to be in Madison on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wuckiehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks sink the Clippers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with an impressive come-from-behind win last night in Milwaukee, 113-106 over the Clippers. Doc Rivers on his plan to prevent Damian Lillard from being trapped while trying to shoot.
Yeah, it was awesome. We worked on it this morning and yesterday, so 2 days in a row working on Dame getting trapped, Giannis getting trapped, running jumps, and it paid dividends today. That's what the guys were saying, man, because we worked on it the entire practice, and that's what we got. And you can see how calm guys were.
The Bucks head west on a four-game road trip. College basketball, Marquette drops to number 8 in the AP Top 25 poll. The Badgers did not receive a single vote after being ranked 6th just a month ago. NFL, after two seasons, the Denver Broncos have released quarterback Russell Wilson.
We were on this journey, and so we beat Green Bay, Kansas City, we beat them, and I got that call that, hey, we're going to bench you for the next 9 games.
That's quarterback Russell Wilson with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies here in the overnight with mid-20s and light north winds. On Tuesday, sunny to mostly sunny, highs in the upper 40s. A little warmer on Wednesday, lower 50s, a southeast wind, and increasing clouds, rain Friday. It's 24 at our studios.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Alball. On Super Tuesday, noon to 2, we'll preview the primaries and also take on alternate side parking right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alball Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alball.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alball, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. We are high atop State Street, one block off the Capitol Square. Welcome in. It is Monday, March 4th, 2024. Back to work, back to school. Mr. Zommers, how the heck are you?
I am doing all right. Thank you.
Mr. Zommers was out a couple of days last week. He's been recovering from the group or whatever it is. Are you feeling better?
Mostly, yeah. Still weirdly tired. Like, I don't know. It's just lingering a little bit.
It lingers, yeah. No, I had a little bit. I mean, there's lots of stuff going around. So I know RSV, the common flu. Of course, there's COVID still out there. And then there's just the crud. Or whatever it is. So, well, I'm glad you're on the mend and continue to get rest. You know.
Yeah, I have been. But how
do we need? Do we need to bring in a nurse?
I don't think so. I think I'll be okay.
Okay, very good.
How about you? How are you doing?
Thank you so very much for asking. I'm well. Thank you very much. Was in Richland Center, WRCE for the show on Friday, and then Mom and I were going to go out for some fish while I was in town, and we went up to Reedstown, a little community north of Richland Center, and the place we were going to go to was closed.
Oh.
So we ended up going to Viroqua, and we went to the fantastic Driftless Cafe. Ever been there?
I have not, but I know they have an award-winning chef.
They do. And I'm telling you, if you're in the area, or even if you're not, make yourself a little adventure over to Southwest Wisconsin in Vernon County, just south of La Crosse, to Viroqua, and get yourself to the Driftless Cafe. And we had the steak of the evening, some great potatoes. The thing is, everything is like homemade, like or you know, organic or close to it in a lot of cases. And their bartender was fantastic. We had a couple of seats at the bar that were open because we didn't have reservations. But it was great. It was a lovely evening, just hanging out with Mom, having a nice dinner at the Driftless Cafe. Great people, great food there, great drinks as well. And then The idea was that Todd would come home on Saturday. But those regular listeners of the program may recall that I am still, months later, at war with Spectrum Communications. Well, apparently now Mom also is at war with Spectrum, because I'm not going to disclose how much she was paying. But I will say she was paying a large amount, even more than I was paying here in Madison for pretty close to the same services. She has a landline where I just had the cable and the internet. And she tried to call them up and say, hey, how can I reduce my bill here? And so they talked her into using the, it's called, ever heard of Zumo?
No.
No. See, if you haven't heard of it, a Gen Zer, how the heck are anybody else supposed to hear of it? So apparently now Spectrum, in an attempt to keep people on their service, are introducing these Zumo boxes. It's X-U-M-O, I believe is how they spell it, Zumo. It's basically like a Roku streaming box. And so they want people to sign up for the streaming box, which you have to have a monthly fee for. You get fewer channels for only a slightly, and I mean substantially fewer channels, like 15 that you get to choose. But you still have to pay like $90 a month for this thing. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we got reviewing her bill. We called Spectrum and they were not helpful at all. Surprise, surprise. And so then we talked about and we reached out to the parents of my godson, the Kohlers, down in beautiful Greene County, who have been on the YouTube for 6 years and they love it. So mom says, I'm all in. Let's cut the cord and let's do YouTube TV. Yep. The problem was that I had given her one of my older TVs that was semi-smart. A semi-smart TV, meaning you were stuck with only the apps that were pre-programmed on the TV, like Netflix. And it was so old, they had like Yahoo still on there.
Oh boy.
So you couldn't put YouTube TV on there. So we ended up venturing out and helping mom pick out a new smart TV, setting that up, getting her hooked up with YouTube, then calling again back to Spectrum. And we had to be transferred over to the cancellation retention department. And that guy was aggressive. And by the way, when we told him we were cutting the cord, magically, they offered to take $70 off of her bill a month for the service she was already having. 70, 70.
Seriously?
Yeah. And I said, you know what? You should have been on the phone when she first called to say, hey, how can I save some money? Because I said, the deal's already done. So we got that. So anyway, mom now has joined the streaming. She has cut the cord. She is streaming in the RC on YouTube TV and very happy, by the way, because she gets the Magnolia Network, which she didn't get before with Spectrum.
So there you go. I'm familiar with that network.
Yeah. Are you? Yeah. They have a lot, kind of like Home and Garden or whatever.
Gotcha. I figure.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the report from last night. And then I got back to a town yesterday and took a little walk, downtown here along the lake with my friend Kristen. And we hung out and watched the sunset. So that was my weekend. But yeah, that is the report. Once again, Spectrum has struck. But unlike her son, mom has won. She took on Spectrum and she won. So maybe now I should just have her take care of my Spectrum.
I was going to say, just have her to do your call.
Right. So anyway, that was Toddy's weekend. Big story today. We're going to cover lots of legal things going on today. Big legal show here in the first hour. Later on, we're going to talk about here in Wisconsin, there was a Trump representative and a Biden representative on WISN-TV up front over the weekend. We're going to play you both of those cuts and tell you why I think that the Biden folks should get a better spokesperson, quite frankly. And really the seriousness of it is that Trump, of course, we know what a Yahoo he is, but the people behind him this time, unlike the first two times, the people behind his campaign this time, as our friend Trigvi Olsen has pointed out, are legitimate. And you'll hear that in the two clips we're going to play later on. Also, the Trumpster declaring over the weekend that the Republican Party of America is now 98% to 100% MAGA. Says it flat out. We're going to play the cut. Let you hear it in his own words. Saying that he's done with people like Romney, anybody who's moderate, Trump declaring that the Republican Party is 98% to 100% MAGA. And we also have a cut from former Republican Party chairman Michael Steele, who responds to that as well. And we'll take your calls as well. So all that coming up here on the show. But we're going to start off with this breaking news this morning that the Supreme Court of the United States handed a sweeping win to former President Donald Trump by ruling that states cannot kick him off the ballot over his actions leading up to January 6th, according to this from NBC News. So this brings a swift end to the case with huge implications in this year's elections. In an unsigned ruling with no dissents, the court reversed the Colorado Supreme Court decision, which had determined that Trump could not serve again as president under Section 3 of the Constitution's 14th Amendment. The provision prohibits those who previously held government positions but later, quote, engaged in insurrection, unquote, from running for various offices. The court said the Colorado Supreme Court had wrongly assumed that states can determine whether a presidential candidate or other candidate for federal office is ineligible. The ruling makes clear that Congress, not states, has to set the rules on how the 14th Amendment provision can be enforced against federal office seekers. As such, the decision applies to all states, not just Colorado. States retain the power to bar people running from state offices from appearing on the ballot under Section 3. Quote, because the Constitution makes Congress, rather than the states, responsible for enforcing Section 3 against all federal office holders and candidates, we reverse, unquote, the ruling said. By deciding the case on that legal question, the court avoided any analysis or determination of whether Trump's actions constituted an insurrection. The decision comes a day before Colorado votes. Of course, tomorrow is Super Tuesday. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show as well. So in addition to ensuring that Trump remains the ballot in Colorado, the decision will end similar cases that have arisen. So far, only two other states, Maine and Illinois, have followed Colorado's path. Like the Colorado ruling, both of those decisions were put on hold. So here's the deal. I want to break this down for you. I want to give a little bit of a credit here. I was talking on the way in about this to our friend Matt Flynn, who we're going to have back on the program in the future. He is sends his regards, says hello, by the way. He's been recuperating down in Florida in Boca Raton with Paul Baldwin, who's doing very well. Thank you very much. No, he spent a little time, took a little vacation. He's doing great. He's working on a new book, and Matt's going to be back on the show and talk about that at a future date. But I wanted to get his take on this because as a two-time Democratic State Party chair, as an attorney, he's been on this program several times before. And Matt concurred and kind of, you know, as an attorney, gave me some clarity on this. Look, I'm not an attorney. I've worked in a law firm, but I'm not an attorney, but spent a lot of time in politics, of course, at the federal and state level. Here is basically, to break it down in layman's terms, as federal judge from Tennessee, Judge Weissman, is fond of saying, you want to put it down there where the chickens can get at it. Is that it? So let's put it down there where the chickens can get at it. The Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, basically took a pass on this decision. So what they basically did is said, look, we're not going to rule on this directly on the insurrection from January 6th. We're not going there. We're simply going to say that under the 14th Amendment, Section 3, that the Constitution is pretty clear that there are only two entities that can rule on this insurrection stuff and eligibility to be president in the future. One is Congress, and Congress took a pass. The other is us, the Supreme Court. And so what we're going to say is that you can't have state Supreme Courts ruling on this, and here's why. This U.S. Supreme Court may or may not agree. Individual justices may or may not agree that Trump should still be eligible to be on the ballot and be president. But if they were to uphold Colorado, then the next thing you're going to have is the Texas Supreme Court or another red state make up charges and say, well, you know what? Biden's not eligible. And of course, it wouldn't be true. It'd just be whatever they want to say. And so you're going to have this patchwork, crazy quilt, dragon patchwork across America of, well, in red states, Biden can't run. In blue states, Trump can't run. And the U.S. Supreme Court said, we're not having that. And they kind of went a little bit further as well. We'll come back and give you the take on that after this. Don't go anywhere. We are covering court news and much, much more. Taking your phone calls as well. A brand new number on the other side for you. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tyler Bowles Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Todd Alba Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tall Ball Show on a Monday, March 4th, 2024. Mr. Zommer's on the board. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon. Glad to have you along. Talking about the Supreme Court news, U.S. Supreme Court, just this morning, handing down the ruling the day before Super Tuesday and saying that they're overturning the lower court's decision in Colorado, declaring that Trump can in fact be eligible and be on the ballot in all 50 states. And saying before the break there, talk to our friend Matt Flynn, who will be on the program at a future date with us. But I wanted to get his take as an attorney, as a former two-time Democratic Party chair, and make sure that my thinking was kind of, you know, in a line. I'm not an attorney. He is. I've worked at a law firm, worked at U.S. congressional level. But essentially what the court is doing is taking a pass and saying that the Constitution only allows two entities to really rule in on this. And one is the U.S. Congress, and they took a pass. And the other is us, the U.S. Supreme Court. And because we don't want, and this is layman's terms, essentially what they're saying is there's this ability out there, perhaps, that red states like Texas or Oklahoma or whatever you want to say could pass, and their Supreme Court could rule on trumped up charges, pun intended, that Biden can't run in a red state. And so you're going to have this patchwork of who can run where across America. And the Supreme Court saying, we just can't have that. So what they're saying is that we're going to put it in the hands of the people and let them decide. And oh, by the way, look, if American public is crazy enough to elect someone legitimately with 91 felonies who's been convicted of rape, so on and so forth, if they're that crazy and they actually elect him, well, come back and see us in the second week in November. Because then they could say, okay, we weren't going to bar him from running, Trump, but now that he's been elected, we could then reconsider whether he could actually serve as president. Now, as my friend and I were discussing, that, of course, would create chaos, you know, a form of a civil war. I mean, if you have a duly elected Trump, and then the Supreme Court's going to come in and say, actually, not so much, we're not going to let him be sworn in. I mean, you're talking about complete chaos. So, I mean, is that in reality really going to happen? No, probably not. Of course, the other thing the U.S. Supreme Court could have done and probably should have done, perhaps, is looked at the facts and taken up this question of whether Trump was actually involved in the insurrection. And if you believe the outcome of the bipartisan January 6th commission on which Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, both Republicans, sat, a reasonable conclusion would be, look, yeah, this guy is guilty. Guilty of sin. You can't have a guy who led an insurrection be president. And so the U.S. Supreme Court could have taken that into consideration and just said, no, he's ineligible, and kept Trump off all 50 states' ballots. But they didn't want to do that. And of course, remember, it was a 9-0 decision this morning. We're going to talk about the nuance in that in just a minute. So that's where we're at right now. And I've said since the beginning, look, I just wanted the justices to look and apply the law as is, fairly and evenly. That's all I want. I don't care whether it's the U.S. Supreme Court or the state Supreme Court. And by the way, we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about the state Supreme Court rejecting a move to reconsider the state's congressional maps. I think that once a case gets to a court, any court, that we as the general public should not be lobbying justices to put their fingers to the wind and do what's popular. They should do what's right in accordance with the law. Back to this story from NBC. The Supreme Court decision removes one avenue of holding Trump accountable for his role in challenging the 2020 election results, including his exhortation that his supporters should march on the Capitol on January 6th when Congress was about to formalize Joe Biden's win. Trump is facing criminal charges for the same conduct. The Supreme Court in April will hear oral arguments on his broad claim of presidential immunity. The ruling warned of the dangers of a patchwork, as we said, of decisions around the country that could send elections into chaos if state officials had the freedom to determine who could appear on the ballot for president. By the way, I forgot to mention this. By the way, this entire thing would be moot, remember, had Mitch McConnell and the Republicans of the United States Senate done their job and convicted Trump when the U.S. House impeached him. That would have been, it would have been clear cut at that point. If you're impeached and convicted, it is clear in the Constitution that you cannot run or serve as president of the United States ever again. So before we give the U.S. Supreme Court too much grief here, let's remember where the real fault lies, and that is with Republicans, in particular Mitch McConnell, in the U.S. Senate for not convicting Trump when they had the case. Back to this NBC story, and here we go. Although the bottom line vote was unanimous this morning, there were some divisions on the court, which has a 6-3 conservative majority as to how the case was resolved. The three liberal justices, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, complained in a jointly written concurring opinion that the court had decided more than it needed to by laying out how Section 3 could be enforced by Congress. They said the decision was, quote, insulate, unquote, or could rather insulate Trump from future controversy, adding that the ruling shuts the door on other potential means of federal enforcement, unquote, of Section 3. Conservative Justice Amy Coney Barrett agreed that the court went further than required, although she did not join the liberal justices' opinion. So that's something. I think interesting that conservative justice Amy Coney Barrett, you know, didn't quite go as far as the three liberals on the court, but she wasn't comfortable completely being with the fellow conservatives on the court either. And I think maybe Todd's just being Pollyannish here, looking through rose-colored glasses. But again, I think that the fact that Amy Coney Barrett was willing to at least separate herself completely from the rest of the conservatives. In other rulings, we've seen Chief Justice John Roberts also separate himself from the rest of conservatives. I'm hoping that is a good harbinger of things to come on this next case regarding whether Trump has complete immunity or not. Back to the NBC story, Barrett said although she had some disagreements with the rationale, the liberals should not, quote, amplify disagreement, unquote, in such a politically charged case. Quote, all nine justices agree on the outcome of this case. That is the message Americans should take home, unquote, she added. The Colorado court based its December 19th ruling on Section 3, which was enacted after the Civil War to prevent further Confederates from returning to the power in the U.S. government. We'll come back and talk more about this on the other side. Also take your phone calls, give you our new number as well. The old one works as well, 844-967-2789. We'll give you the new one on the other side. Also use the Civic Media app. It's the Todd Lowball Show for a Monday, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's Super Tuesday, 15 states holding presidential primaries, and Donald Trump is on every one of them.
Today's primaries come after the Supreme Court unanimously ruled that individual states cannot ban Trump from the presidential ballot. Courts in three states, Colorado, Maine, and Illinois, had ruled Trump should be banned because of his actions surrounding the January 6th riot, citing the 14th Amendment, which says no one who has taken an oath to support the Constitution and then engaged in insurrection can hold public office afterwards.
ABC's Ike Ajachi. A single-engine airplane crashed near the I-40 in Nashville. Authorities say everyone aboard was killed, but it's not known exactly how many people were on the aircraft. In Earth orbit, three Americans and a Russian have joined the crew aboard the International Space Station for a six-month stay. That'll make 11 people on the orbital outpost until four crew members from the previous mission return to Earth. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two of Donald Trump's lawyers who helped lead Wisconsin's false elector scheme have settled a civil lawsuit against them. Lawyers Kenneth Chesbro and Jim Troupas will have to turn over 1,400 pages of documents, emails, and texts detailing how they came up with the plan. The 10 Republicans who posed as false electors settled in December. Neither Chesbro nor Troupas have to admit any wrongdoing in the settlement, though Troupas will have to pay an undisclosed amount to the plaintiffs in the case. Republican State Senator Andre Jacques of DePeer is running for Congress. Jacques is running for Wisconsin's 8th congressional seat, which is being vacated by Congressman Mike Gallagher. He's the second Republican to announce their candidacy for the seat alongside former State Senator Roger Roth. No Democrats have announced yet their intention to run. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
It is going to be a little warmer today, mostly sunny, up to 47 for a high today. The wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear, our low 27. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 51. Then by Thursday, some sun in the morning, mostly cloudy in the afternoon, 53, with some scattered rain by Thursday night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 past the hour of 12 noon. Glad to have you along. March 4th on a Monday, Mr. Zomer is on the board. And you on the phone lines. We have a brand new phone number we're debuting here at Civic. The old one still works, by the way. But our new number we'll be giving out more frequently. 855-752-4872. Again, 855-752-4872.
4842.
What did I say?
You said 4872.
Wouldn't it be funny if someone called that number and said, I'm trying to get on the show?
I don't know if that goes anywhere or not.
And by the way, all phones, 855, all phone calls will now be routed through Paducah, Kentucky, which we, I'm not sure why, but we're going to do a show from Paducah later on this year, I think. 855-752-4842. Right, Mr. Zomers?
Yes.
855-752-4842. Or, to make it even more simple, 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC. Just spell out the word civic after you type in 85575. So there you go. Give us a call on that. Give us a call on the old number as well. Or you can download the Civic Media app to your iPhone or Android device and simply hit the little icon that says phone. That will dial you right into whatever show you're listening to. So there you go. 855-752-4842. Give us a phone call. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this announcement by the U.S. Supreme Court this morning that overturns Colorado, saying that Trump is eligible to be on all 50 states' ballots this year, and saying the reason, the rationale is they're saying that only two entities, Congress and the U.S. Supreme Court, can make this ruling because it's federal. That state courts can rule about any state official on their ballot, but because there can't be a patchwork quilt of who's eligible and who's not, that is the rationale the U.S. Supreme Court is making. 9-0, by the way, for allowing Trump the ballot. The three liberal justices, along with Amy Coney Barrett, saying that essentially they think that the decision goes too far in kind of alluding to how much Trump can, you know, use this in the future. But the bottom line is 9-0 that Trump can stay on the ballot. Give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Green Bay. Stephen in Green Bay. Thanks for calling, Stephen. What say you?
You caught me off guard a little bit because Zomers just knows who I am, so he puts me through.
You're pre-screened. That, it's like the TSA, our frequent callers. You know, you're pre-screened.
Yeah. I finally hit the frequent Todd Aldershaw caller list where I just I get a VIP right into the studio there. So with that being said, I'm not very surprised at all, really, about the decision. I was expecting this decision. I think what we should be more alarmed of is the fact that we very well could have a rapist and, criminal running our country if he gets elected. Now, do I think he's going to get elected? I don't think it's impossible. I think it's highly unlikely if he goes against Joe Biden that he's going to get elected. But it still is possible, which is a little scary to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It is not out of the realm of possibilities to think that Trump could legitimately get elected. That is a real possibility. And I think the Supreme Court decision today reiterates what I and others on this station and network have been saying, that ultimately that's why it's important that people get out and vote in November. I mean, it really is going to be in the hands of you, of us, the citizens of the United States of America, about the future of this country, period.
Yeah, Todd. And also, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Trump lost the primary in Washington, D.C., which I thought was kind of funny because if Trump gets elected, he's going to have to govern out of Washington, D.C., where no one wants him to be there in the first place. So
that is funny. He finally did lose a primary in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. Of course, Super Tuesday tomorrow, which I think he'll do a lot better. But yeah, you're right. That is interesting. Thanks so much, Stephen. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We'd love to hear from you on this Monday. Let's go up to beautiful Eau Claire, up to our station up there, WCFW The Tap. Really appreciate you calling in. Gene in Eau Claire, great to hear from you, Gene. What say you?
Well, great show as usual. You're doing a great job educating our people on this side of the state, and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
You know what? I would like anybody to name even one American who has had 91 felony counts, remember, found by juries, liable for sexual abuse and defamation 2 times, and found liable for fraudulent businesses over and over and over again. And I just wish somebody in our country can name one American that has this reputation, this history, being protected by the Supreme Court. That's my question of the day. And keep up the great work and have a good one, okay?
Hey, thank you, Gene. Really appreciate it. I have a story coming up here next that kind of answers a little bit what Gene's saying there. Really appreciate it. Gene Eau Claire, fantastic call as always. So I want to move on to this next story here from thenewrepublic.com. And this came out, let me just check on the date here for you. This came out a couple of days ago on March 1st by Greg Sargent, great reporter, great writer. Headline, Liz Cheney nukes the Supreme Court over Trump delay and hands Democrats a weapon. Because this kind of goes along with what Gene from Eau Claire is saying here, that Americans deserve to know what Trump has done, what he's accused of, and that he has to be held accountable. So this is the other Supreme Court case, right? A ruling that we're waiting to hear handed down, whether or not the U.S. Supreme Court is going to declare that Trump is immune from everything he does while he's president, or whether he's going to be held accountable like every other American. So in the wake, this is this story from newrepublic.com. In the wake, Greg Sargent, the author, in the wake of the Supreme Court agreeing to hear Donald Trump's demand for absolute immunity from prosecution, potentially delaying his insurrection-related trial until after the election, Democrats should take careful note of Liz Cheney's response to the decision. Yes, that Liz Cheney, daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, also former Republican Congresswoman from Wyoming, which was primaried and lost in her primary election in Wyoming to a Trumpster simply because she had the audacity to vote in favor of Trump's impeachment and then sat on the January 6th bipartisan commission and said that Trump was responsible for the insurrection of January 6th. Here's what Liz Cheney tweeted out last week after the Supreme Court, U.S. Supremes, decided to hear this. She said, quote, delaying the January 6th trial suppresses critical evidence that Americans deserve to hear. Donald Trump attempted to overturn an election and seize power. Our justice system must be able to bring him to trial before the next election. SCOTUS, which stands for Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS should decide this case promptly, unquote. That's Liz Cheney. Back to this article by Greg Sargent. The court's decision is terrible news, to be sure, but it gives Democrats an opportunity to clarify a few crucial points, and they should seize it. First, Democrats should stress that voters need to know before the election whether Trump committed crimes, and this is due to them as a matter of right. Second, Trump is seeking these delays to end all prosecutions of himself if he regains the White House, to corruptly place himself above the law by pardoning himself or having his hand-picked people, attorney general, do it. Democrats must say clearly that if the court helps delay the trial until after the election, it will be enabling him to do that. As many have noted, the Supreme Court did not have to agree to review an appeals court ruling against Trump, who is demanding immunity from prosecution for conspiring to obstruct the official electoral count and defraud the United States, among other charges. The high court could have simply let the lower court ruling stand, given that Republican-appointed and Democratic-appointed judges unanimously ruled that Trump's efforts to overturn the election don't constitute official acts and thus don't get immunity. A clear-cut legal case. Quote, "This is not a difficult legal question," unquote, according to Maryland Congressman Jamie Raskin, a constitutional law professor, who told this reporter, quote, "All the Supreme Court has done is to introduce several months of gratuitous delay right before a presidential election," unquote. The court has set April 22nd to hear arguments, and if it takes its time in ruling, the decisions may not come until late June. And that presents a logistics nightmare that might postpone the trial until after the election. Article says, perhaps you think the Supreme Court has good reason to weigh in on a matter of such importance. But even if we accept this, the court still has the option of deciding the case in time for the trial to proceed before the election, notes Stephen Vladek, a law professor at the University of Texas in Austin. Though justices likely won't be influenced by the election schedule, Vladek says, the trial's timing is, quote, clearly within the court's control. This is where Cheney and Democrats come in. Note that Cheney, Liz Cheney, stated unequivocally that voters deserve to know whether Trump committed crimes while throwing or trying to overthrow democracy and deserve a full accounting of those actions, precisely because the sheer gravity of what he did threatens the democratic system itself. As Will Stancil points out, Democrats sometimes hesitate to talk this way out of fear of being perceived as trying to politicalize legal processes. But in this case, Democrats have an obligation to level with voters about what's really happening here. At this point, the notion that Trump would use presidential power to end prosecutions of himself is so widely accepted that news accounts note it in passing. Quote, he could use the power of his office to seek to dismiss the election interference indictment altogether, unquote, the New York Times observes, as detachedly as it might report on Trump's plans to alter the decor in the Oval Office. So you ask yourself, what percentage of voters is aware that Trump actually will have the power to cancel ongoing prosecutions of himself if he's elected president? Remember, sizable majorities believe Trump committed crimes in trying to overthrow the election and that the prosecutions are holding Trump accountable under the law as opposed to trying to hurt him politically. Voters do care that Trump committed alleged crimes and they do think he's being legitimately held accountable. But how many voters grasp that if the trial is delayed, the election itself will decide whether that process runs to completion? How many understand that the Supreme Court's handling of this matter will determine whether Trump has the opportunity, should he win the election, to place himself beyond legal accountability in a way no other criminal defendant can? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, this is kind of a little bit of an arcane reference, but Trump kind of reminds me at this point, and I've said this before, he's kind of like the evil Count Olaf in the Lemmy and Snicket books, A Series of Unfortunate Events, where Count Olaf said that he was going to drop the baby to its death. He was going to forced, you know, young Violet into marriage.
Hey, Mark. He said part of just not to interrupt you a second. We're up against a little bit of a break. Don't go anywhere, Mark. Stay with us, Mark. We're going to take the rest of Mark's call on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Talking about this Supreme Court decision by the U.S. Supreme Court this morning, allowing Trump to be in all 50 ballots on all 50 states. Also, talking about what Liz Cheney was saying last week in terms of the other Supreme Court case that we're waiting to be handed down on whether Trump has complete immunity of things that he does while in office. Liz Cheney saying that, look, this is a message that we have to get out. That Trump attempted to overturn an election and seize power. And our justice system must be able to bring him to trial before the next election. And this article by Greg Sargent saying that Democrats need to make sure that people understand that should Trump get legitimately elected, that he has the power to make all of this go away. That he can simply say all these charges are baloney and direct his attorney general to drop everything. There will be no accountability. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Go back to the phone lines. Mark from Prairie du Sac, thanks for holding through the break there, Mark. Go ahead and finish what you were going to say.
Yeah, no problem. And all investigating, Olaf went on to say, all investigations against him to cease. He wanted to seize the children's fortune and to force young Violet into a marriage with a decrepit old man. And that it is just some of the parallels, I guess, are a little bit of a stretch. But Trump just doesn't think he should be responsible for any, be accountable for anything. And for the Supreme Court to do this and not hold him to account on the 14th Amendment, because this is simply my opinion, it probably had been the opinion of many others in the past, that the 14th Amendment itself was self-executing, and that in order for him to be on the ballot, Congress would have to, by a two-thirds majority, would have to approve him being on the ballot to actually be able to hold office again. I mean, that shouldn't be a legal stretch for by any stretch of the imagination, forgive the pun, but I mean, it is just ridiculous that these... that Sammy the Fish Alito was, apparently ready to, that help out in the insurrection back on January 6th. Clarence Thomas's wife, as well as Clarence Thomas probably himself, was ready to assist on in the planning of the insurrection. So don't give me this nonsense that Donald Trump is immune and try to put a lipstick on a pig. And that's an insult to pigs. I mean,
Mark, what do you think about this text by Liz Cheney from last week, basically saying, look, that the American public has a right to know this before the election, and saying that the court needs to make this decision on immunity, immediately, and making sure that this trial can come to fruition before the election, because if not, I mean, the Democrats basically should be getting the word out that, look, if he gets reelected or gets elected again, I should say, that he has the power to make all of this go away. I'm not sure that all Americans realize that. And to Liz Cheney's point, I think we need to do perhaps a better job or a more consistent job of making sure that message gets out.
Well, I certainly agree with her. I mean, under these conditions, you know, Trump under his opinion, you know, in his fetid little imagination, he's immune to everything, including you know, whatever crimes he commits while he's in office. Well, then what's to stop him from deciding, well, I'm going to get, I have a right to any virgin I want to take, and that, and you've got nothing to do, you know, say anything about it, because he's like a feudal lord, and his right to first night's privileges with unmarried women. I mean, it is just, because I don't think that's even a stretch of the imagination that Trump would want to get away with that. And perhaps I'm being unjust, but I mean, I guess my imagination takes wild leaps with this man, and some of those leaps aren't all that wild.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think he certainly has unprecedented ego and narcissism, and places himself above the law. And now the U.S. Supreme Court has the ability to either make sure that he still can stay in trial before the election, or they can withhold this ruling, you know, and make it, because what you run into, and I know you know this, Mark, but other listeners might not, there is United States Department of Justice code, basically, that says once you get into a certain, you know, timeline and too close to an election, that the precedent is for the Justice Department to withhold, you know, prosecuting that individual because they don't want it to have an unfair outcome on the election. So the longer that the U.S. Supreme Court waits to decide whether Trump gets immunity, the harder it makes it for the Department of Justice to take him to trial if it gets too close to the actual election in November. So, I mean, there's just a lot of unknowns here, but I agree with Liz Cheney that Americans have the right to know, and that we have an obligation that the Supreme Court makes this decision quickly so that Americans can hear the results of this trial.
Certainly.
Yeah. Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, my friend, for starting us off on a great way on this week, along with all the other callers this week. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Or to make it easier, 855-75-CIVIC, C-I-V-I-C, CIVIC. Great to have all of you along on this Monday, along with Mr. Zommers as well. We're going to come back and talk about a little bit on hour number two about the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It rejected a move to reconsider the state's congressional maps late last week. We'll give you thoughts on that. Why? I think it's probably actually a good decision. I think it makes at least the appearance be that this is truly a fair court. And this is what I'm saying. Once things go to the court, I'm not going to lobby the court on what I think or anybody else thinks the court should do. I just want the court to evenly and fairly apply the law as written. That whether it's the U.S. Supreme Court, state Supreme Court, you know, district court, circuit court, municipal court, let the courts do their work. Also in the state Senate race, or pardon me, in the 8th Congressional District congressional race up around Green Bay, there is a new candidate. Block Jacques Chirac. No, Andre Jacques is throwing his hat into the ring, and we'll talk about Mr. Jacques entering the race up there. Also, given these cuts of what happened on the statewide television networks over the weekend, a Biden spokesman and a Trump spokesman. We'll compare and contrast that. And the Trumpster says that the Republican Party is now 98 to 100% MAGA. That's what he's saying. I mean, it's just, we have, where are we at, Mr. Zommers? I'm looking at the clock here. Let's play this quickly. Here is the Trumpster on the stand this weekend talking about the Republican Party of today.
And they say, always trying to demean, well, MAGA really represents 48% of the Republican Party. No, it represents 96% and maybe 100%. We're getting rid of the Romneys of the world. We want to get Romneys and those out.
There you go. The Trumpster has said it himself, that Republican Party today is 98 to 100% MAGA. So, I mean, when people get upset with me and say that, well, you're saying, these are the words of Donald Trump, you understand? These are the words of Trump. And I'm only repeating Trump's. We'll come back to hour two. Stay tuned. The news starts right now.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.